All right, let's go out to the Pac-12 tournament. Our man from Arizona who joins us on a regular basis, he is the CEO of Sports360AZ.com, is one Brad Sesmed. Brad, welcome to the Corky's Hotline. How you doing?
It's always good to be on with Corky's, John.
Yeah.
You know, it's great that Corky's sponsors it. It's awesome. Vegas, it's nice. Unless you're an Arizona State Sun Devil fan where you lost to just a wretched USC team earlier today. And if you're a UCLA fan, I think you have to feel pretty good. You have USC tomorrow. The tournament up here, John, you've been to big sporting events, right?
Yep.
You've been to lots of big sporting events. Now, and I have as well. The Pac-12 tournament in Las Vegas is by far one of the best events. You go to the MGM. You're at this nice resort. I did my show today poolside. I walk into the Grand Garden. I sit there and watch basketball. I go back to the MGM. Huh. There's fans all over the place. It's like 85% U of A red, white, and blue up here. It's like a U of A convention here in Vegas, John. And they do this for 3-4 days, and it's awesome. You don't have to be outdoors. It's college basketball. Who doesn't get pumped, psyched, geeked for March Madness? So even though I think the Pac-12 is down a little bit this year, it's a lot of fun up here.
Is there anybody in the Pac-12 tournament that can legitimately beat Arizona?
No. Here's the thing on U of A this year, from what I've seen. McConnell should have been the player of the year in the conference. He's terrific. He's the best point guard to come along in the last couple of years, in my opinion. One of the best that's ever played down in Tucson. U of A this year has gone through a transition. You remember Aaron Gordon was a one-and-done guy. Stanley Johnson comes in this year, and he's got a little bit of, I'm going to the NBA, I'm going to do my thing, and Sean Miller and the staff have done a very good job of trying to corral him in. He makes freshman of the year. But they haven't had the big years out of Tarzewski and Brandon Ashley down low, so you look at them as a tournament team. Can anybody touch Kentucky? Can anybody even sniff Kentucky's bottom of their shoes? U of A could, John. They've got a good enough defensive team. Ronde Hollis Jefferson is one of the better defensive players, I think not just in the Pac-12, but in the country. But you look at the rest of the conference, just talking conference, UCLA doesn't have the depth. UCLA is a 36-minute-a-game a team, in my opinion. In the last 4 minutes, they run out of gas. They're not very good. It's not one of the better UCLA teams. Oregon's been a nice story this year. Oregon State's been a surprise story this year. The Washington schools are not very good. Now with Arizona State out of the mix, you have the worst team in the conference in USC. And, John, they're bad. They're not good. And somehow they made it into the second round. Arizona State up 14 with the ball at the 9-minute mark today. And they find a way to blow a game and lose. And Herb Sendek just getting crushed on Twitter and social media by the Sun Devil fans. So, you know, to answer your question, I don't see anybody who's close, not even in the same zip code territory as what's going on with U of A down in Tucson.
Brad, and we're joined by Brad Sesmed on the Corky's Hotline. He's over at the Pac-12 tournament. Herb Sendek's been there, and when he came in there, they gave him a lot of money, and it just hasn't really worked out at all. Is there a chance he could get fired because of this meltdown today?
So they gave Herb an extension earlier this year, which caught a lot of Sun Devil fans by surprise. There's a new athletic director over here, Ray Anderson. Ray was the number 2 guy in the NFL to Roger Goodell and decided that I want to get out of this NFL mess and made his way over to Arizona State. And he's had his focus and his eye on the football program. I think he's a really good man. I think he's done a very good job. Very corporate, very CEO-ish, which is becoming the norm now in college athletics, John. It's a big decision for him because they just extended him. The Board of Regents wasn't overly thrilled. I know the Big Cigar alums aren't overly thrilled. Herb's record in 9 years has just been a little bit above 900 or 500, rather. I really like Herb Sendek personally. And when you have some of the top voices in the world of college basketball on my show, now, Jay Billis a couple of weeks ago just raved and raved and raved about Herb Sendek, but facts are, in my view, is he cut out in this day and age to be a Pac-12 conference coach? Is he better served to be an Ivy League coach? Herb is very straightforward by the rules, which is fine, which is great, which is dandy, but I think there's got to be some salesmanship within the conference. And, you know, there's a lot of names that are out there. I'm not going to throw in the rumor mill stuff because Herb is still the coach here tonight. I don't think he's going to get bounced, but certainly the discussion has to be had by Ray Anderson and the people within ASU. What just happened to us? We were eliminated in the first round as a fifth seed by a 12-seed USC team that's awful with a capital A, and we're bound to the NIT again. Last year they were one and done in the tournament. He's got some nice recruits coming in, but, you know, I've heard that story for a long time. They're barely above 500. You can always say, well, we got these great recruits coming along. Every coach wants that. And, again, personally, I really like him. But if you look at the tea leaves of where the program is headed, next year are they going to be any better than the third or fourth best? And U of A went through their down period. You remember this, John, after Lute Olson left. U of A was not good for a few years. They went through a stretch there where – they couldn't get it figured out, and Arizona State failed to capitalize on it, and they've been nothing more than a 500 program. It's one of the great mirages in college basketball, what's gone on over at ASU.
Yeah, they've had a real hard time getting that thing going, and I would certainly think that the Tempe area is a lot more conducive for young people than going down to Tucson, Arizona.
No, you're right about that, and they didn't capitalize on James Harden when James Harden was there. And his high school coach, Scott Parra, came over there. Scott left the program and has moved on. They didn't capitalize on the big-time, big-name recruits. And from the James Harden era moving forward, the program's been about a 500, a little bit less than that. I mean, is this as good as it's going to get? And if you're an athletic director that really is all about football – and you want a basketball coach that's going to be about 500 or thereabouts, maybe a little bit better, and is going to make sure that he runs as clean a program as is humanly possible in this day and age of college basketball, John, then Herb Sendek's probably your guy. I mean, if you're fine with it being what it is, you know, you win 17, you win 18, you might win 21, 22. You're going to play a schedule. They lost at home to Lehigh earlier this year. Come on. And they've played directional schools. If you're going to play that sort of program and you want a program that's not going to be in trouble and is just kind of something sort of there to do in between the end of football season and spring football, then you keep Herb Sendek, plain and simple. I'm not after anybody's job, but it's just the facts are this is not a top three, top four program within the Pac-12 conference, and it hasn't been.
Brad Sesmat, CEO of Sports360AZ.com. Let me ask you a little bit about UCLA. You talked about Steve Alford's ball club. They don't have the depth. They're playing guys, you know, 36 minutes a game, and in some cases even 40 minutes a game. They have a couple of guys that come off the bench, but really playing with about a seven-man roster at best.
Yeah.
Steve Alford, you think he can get this thing going?
It's interesting, John. You know, you look at Steve Alford and what he's done at UCLA, and then you look at Indiana this year, and Tom Crean is in trouble. Mm. Tom Crean is feeling some heat. And, you know, you look at the Steve Alford background, and you look at the story of where he came from, and you just kind of wonder, right, is this going to be something where, you know, I've been at UCLA, can I really get this going? Was I a UCLA guy from the get-go? You know, he did his thing in New Mexico. He's been at UCLA. Not trying to run coaches off again, but you know and I know, okay? You know and I know, tea leaves turn, and what do you know? If Tom Crean doesn't survive at Indiana, and right now that's one of the big coaching spots where people are looking at, if they don't make the tournament, that there's a lot of pressure back there. And who would have thought that a couple of years ago? It wouldn't surprise me in the least. Would it surprise you in the least? I don't think it would.
No, not at all. I think what surprises me that he isn't already the Indiana coach.
Yeah. No, you're right. And so you connect the dots on that. It's like, you know, it's like Sean Miller is doing a very good job at the University of Arizona. And there's some recruits around the country that with Sports 360 AZ, you know, I'll focus in a little bit on the recruiting stuff. And there's a little bit out there that Sean Miller is going to be one of these guys that at some point is going to be pursued by the NBA. I don't know if that's true or not, but stranger things have happened. Who would have thought Brad Stevens would end up leaving Butler and coaching the Boston Celtics, right? Who would have thought that at all? So you just don't know with any of these coaches. It's like Andy Enfield today at USC. Pat Hayden looked like he'd had a bad meal and somebody had run off with his dog at halftime because they were just brutal. And at the end of the game, they found a way to win the game. And I don't know if it saved Andy Enfield's job, but there's certainly been a rumbling up here that did he come in and just have flash and dance down at Florida Gulf Coast? And they're not very disciplined. I don't know really offensively what they're running. And, you know, they somehow pulled this game out today. But there certainly is a belief up here that USC was maybe on a little bit of thin ice for the skip for Andy Enfield.
Hey, before I let you get out of here tonight, and Brad Sussman joining us on the Corky's Hotline.
Coaches all over the place, right? Well, I'm just stirring it up tonight.
Well, one coach did get fired after he lost to UNLV. David Carter, the head basketball coach at Nevada. It wasn't announced by the school. He announced it. He goes, "I've been fired."
It's that time of year where you're going to have coaching, you're going to have Calipari's name is going to come up somewhere around the NBA because it does every year. There's going to be people that are going to go after Jim Boeheim after what happened at Syracuse because that happens every year. And there's going to be that surprise coach who decides to leave. And then there'll be a coach, as I mentioned, Tom Crean a little bit earlier, who's already under the microscope a little bit. That's just the way it is in the coaching circles. And there'll be some guys that chase money. And then there'll be some guys that say, you know what, I'm probably better off just staying here at the program where I'm at right now.
Don't you think it would be a good idea for Boeheim just to say goodbye?
You know, John, I don't know him other than I've had him on a show a couple times. And obviously he's one of the great minds of college basketball. And what happened at Syracuse was a YMCA guy, and Boeheim didn't know that he was – taking money, and he didn't know that he was paying for it, and then he didn't know that there were people that were taking tests for his kids, and a coach can't coach a pro or police a program 24 hours, 7 days a week. I believe that to a point, but I also believe that it's at the end of the day, it's your program. So if all this stuff happened under your watch, eventually, doesn't matter how good a guy you are, how much money you've raised in charity, how much you've done on all that front, maybe it's just time.
He's like 70 years old. He ought to hang it up. Seriously. I mean, this went back over at least a 10, if not 14-year period.
Right. No, you're right. John, you're right. You're absolutely right. But the flip side of that, I would say, is does he turn out kids that end up playing at the next level? And the answer to that is unequivocally, yes, he does, and he has.
How many guys graduate?
Well, that's and I don't have the answer to that, but that's a very good comeback. You could go through a lot of these college coaches and their programs that have been there a long period of time and say, have you gotten comfortable? It's like what I'm seeing over at Arizona State. You know, if Herb's there again next year, it's fine. It's they're off the radar.
It's a program.
They're in a pro sports market where the college football program has gotten its act together. ASU is going to be a top 10, top 15 program in the preseason rankings. They have a big time schedule coming up. It's fine. It's just kind of something sort of there to do. But I aspire for more than that. You know, when you're in a period right now where spring training's going on in Arizona and the Padre fans are over there having a great time on spring break and the market's got an NBA team that's off the tracks and it's got a hockey team that nobody cares about because it keeps going through ownership changes, right? So college basketball you would hope would give you something, and instead pretty much every year it's the same sort of thing.
Well, we'll see what happens in this tournament, but it seems like Arizona, it's going to be pretty much all Arizona the next few days.
What about your Aztecs? What do you, I mean?
Well, they got a tough one tomorrow night. UNLV on their home court, with, you know, 13, 14, 15,000 fans at Thomas and Mack. Not going to be easy. UNLV's given them problems this year. Both games this year, the Aztecs have actually trailed at halftime, and the last time they played on March 4th over at Thomas and Mack, the Aztecs had to come back, and they hung on by a bucket, 60-58.
Hey, Coach, you got to get up here. Here's the thing. I'm sitting here on the strip, and I could go over to the Mountain West tournament, or I can go over to the WAC tournament, or I can go over to the Pac-12 tournament. They're all going on right now. The West Coast Conference just finished up here. This is a hoopaholic heaven right now here in Vegas.
Hey, I got to ask you real quick. I heard through the grapevine that you ran into the big redhead last night.
So Bill Walton – is, and you know this, but the audience may not. So when I'm at, when I'm back in the day, and by the way, congratulations, my Escondido Cougars, for winning the title. When I'm back in the day as hometown kid, Valley Center Escondido, wife's an Orange Glen Patriot and all that stuff, and I get asked to be a part of a startup of an all-sports station way back in the day, in the mid-late 80s. I get a phone call one day from Charlie Jones, the legendary voice. And Charlie Jones says to me, Brad, I hear you're going to be doing the University of San Diego Torero basketball games. That's terrific. Good. Congratulations for you. You're a bright young talent. Da, da, da. You need to have Bill Walton as your color analyst. I've been doing some work with him on his speech.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, Bill had a speech impediment. There's a very, very dramatic speech impediment.
Right.
So I said, that's fine. Have Bill call me. Bill calls me, says, I want to meet with you. So I go over to his house over by the zoo. It's still there.
Yeah, he's still there.
Still there. And the lady lets me in, and I walk in, and the beam is about 8 feet high for the ceiling, right? And I notice on the beam is a phone book and a phone at like 8 feet high. I'm walking into his house. I go in the backyard. She points me over to Bill's jacuzzi over on the far side. And I walk over there, and there's Bill Walton all in his glory, butt naked. And he says, I'm scrubbing my calluses from when I played. Hop in here. I want to talk to you about these games. He's got this teepee in the backyard, right?
Right.
So I'm sitting there with Bill, and we talk about, you know, what my vision is for the games. You know, we'll have some fun. He's never done it before. The first game we do is University of San Diego against the Portland Pilots. The head coach of the Portland Pilots is Larry Steele, great Trailblazer teammate of Bill's. Bill sees him, goes over while the anthem is finishing up, and hugs him, and they're starting to talk. And the game gets started, and Bill is still over there hugging him as the game gets started. So I'm waving him over, and I'm on the air, and the Toreros are in the front court, and here's a shot put up and in, and Hank Egan was the coach. And Bill goes on the air and just crushes him, just kills him. That was a horrible pass. That was a horrible shot. It was just an awful. And the whole night, next day I get a phone call from the athletic director. We're very happy with, you know, Bill. And so that's where it started. Last night I walk into the MGM Grand and I walk onto the main court and there's one guy left there. And it's, to Bill's credit, it's like 9:30 last night and it's Bill Walton. And he and I have stayed in touch through the years. And I walk over there, and he's making his notes. And I said, University of Portland against San Diego. And he doesn't look up, and he says, Brad Susmat. And we sit there courtside. There's nobody else, John, in the MGM Grand. We start talking. And then he gets up, and he's got a bad limp. You know, his feet are – he's in pain. Right. We walk to the MGM, and people are wanting to stop and take pictures of him. And he's wanting to know about family, and we're talking about his kids. He's grandfather six times over and all that stuff. But it was cool to see Bill in this space and just how far he's come. And he's a rock star. He's just a rock star. And very, very nice. He sent me a funny text last night about 11:30 just saying thanks for the night and thanks for the – that's what's fun about being in college basketball. It is a small little circle, and you see these coaches, you see these characters, like Bill Frieder's up here, and Fries is in Del Mar a lot, and he's just a character and a half.
Frieder's, he's a cartoon character.
No, I know. He's a nightmare. But you see these guys that you're friends with through the years, or that you've had to rip on the air, and you can get mad at each other and then go have a beer afterwards and clear it up. But it's cool to be in college basketball. I really like it. I know there's a lot of problems with the game from some people's view. The regular season doesn't mean as much as it once did, and you have Kentucky at 31-0, and they're blowing everybody away. Is it good for college basketball or not? They have a bunch of one-and-dones. I don't know. John Calipari was able to get a bunch of NBA guys and convince them to play 20 minutes a game when they're used to playing the whole game. I think that's pretty impressive myself. I don't need to look at the negative side of all this.
Yeah, and I'm sure their grade point average is probably, not quite where their point per game average is.
No. It's a little harsh.
I know, but looking at the history of Mr. Calipari and some of his other stops.
It's not international business that they're majoring in. I get it. It's one and done. But, no, it's a lot of fun. I love this time of year.
Hey, Brad, thanks so much. Enjoy all the hoops, man.
Stay well. Good to hear your voice, John.
There you go. Brad Susmat, our friend from Arizona, the CEO of Sports360AZ.com, joining us from the Pac-12 tournament at the MGM Grand on the Corky's Hotline.